Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the FPL Banger Show. My name is Siva. I'm joined by Sam. Sam, people have been asking me, like, do we still do this podcast? Have we just given up in the same way that this season has basically given up on me or KDB's hamstrings gave up on me until it's a meaningless cup match and then he decides, okay, yeah, sure. Here's five assists. Haaland scores five goals a week after wasting a triple captain on him.
Yeah. Well, I did not use my triple captain, Siva. Instead, I made a maybe worse decision to bench Puss in that week. But time will tell whether it is the worst decision because I will use my triple captain in another week and maybe I'll get more points. Who knows? We won't know until the end of the season. But remember a few episodes back, we were saying how like every time we don't record a podcast this week, I tend to make a stupid decision. Like wildcarding or bench boosting when everyone is triple captaining. Yeah. I probably could have gotten away without using a chip at all last week.
I mean, I've looked back and basically if somebody had kidnapped me before Game Week 24, my team would be in a much better place. Like I'd still have Watkins, I'd still have Solanke, I'd still have all those points. I wouldn't have KDB. And yeah, so...
Siva... In the week I wildcard, I took out Saka and Watkins, who both have scored like a combined like 80 points in since that 4 or 5 weeks ago. So, yeah. Okay. I think if I had like stopped playing a few weeks back, I would be like 1 mil rank higher or something like that. Oh,
this is big. So now, the only thing to fix the damage that we've done to our teams is to, you know, more intervention on our part and more insight.
More hits.
That
we're gonna, more hits.
More hits. Yeah, more hits. More hits. Sometimes you have...
Damage it more to fix it, yeah?
No, there's an old Buddhist saying, sometimes you have to go down to go up. So I'm just really going down so that, you know, eventually there's more room to go up. So... This week, we finally confirmed Game Week 29, and it kind of played out the way we expected. In fact, all the favorites won, so therefore, the four fixtures in Game Week 29, and perhaps I'll just bring this up to the screen now, if you can see, well, it's not looking pretty, is it, right? Villa, West Ham, Brentford, Burnley, Fulham, Spurs, Luton, Forest... Yeah, West Ham Villa. Yeah, that's it. So, four fixtures. A lot of debate this week about whether you should use a chip, whether it's a waste of the complete free hit chip, because it's only four fixtures, half of these teams you don't want to ever see again. How do you feel?
Oh, okay. There's a lot of talk on both sides, right? There are a lot of people saying you should free hit. There are a lot of people saying you shouldn't free hit. You won't like the answers, Eva. Because the answer, as with everything in FPL, is it's team dependent. What a flaky answer, right? Okay, I guess first you look at your team, see how many players you're playing, you have playing in those weeks, number one. Number two, think about the players who will be playing and whether you will want them long term. That's how I'm looking at it, at least. Like, for example, Bowen. Probably want to bring him in. Will I keep him after the double? Yeah. I mean, after the blank, sorry. Will I keep him? Yeah, I think I would. People may say that it's knee-jerky. What you need to realize is that West Ham with and without Paqueta are like two different teams. I saw this stat, I think. They've played 7 games without Paqueta this season and they lost all 7. The whole West Ham, their whole form, Bowen's form, Kudu's form, everything is linked to whether Paqueta is playing or not. Now that Paqueta is back, you can expect Bowen to get back to his scoring ways. So I'm happy holding Bowen. Then you got the Spurs players. Will you be happy moving with them forward? Yeah, Son, Richarlison, why not? You know? So I think there is enough players there that you can hold. And even the cheaper ones, right? For example, if you're bringing in... Carlton Morris, for example, Luton, he gets the double, he plays 29. And then beyond that, you could bench him. He doesn't have to stay in your team, like in the first squad, right? You can bench him moving forward. So if you're okay with them staying in your 15-player squad moving forward, then I would say don't free hit, you know? if you can make it to a respectable number, I don't know, 9 players maybe? I would say like minimum 9. Players, yeah?
I think less about quantity, more about who you have, the quality of it, right? So if we take fixture by fixture, Villa, West Ham, who do you want? You probably need to have Watkins. Bowen would be nice, but I wouldn't... I mean, West Ham away at Villa Park, I think I will not lose sleep over not having Jared Bowen. I think I'll be okay. Hat-trick, you know, just, that hat-trick is great, but it's coming after a fairly poor run of form. And sure, Paqueta's back, but Villa's not an easy fixture. So,
no, but I have Watkins to say, though, Villa has not been keeping any clean sheets. So I could see goals both sides, you know.
Most of the defense is injured, to be fair. And I guess 29's some way away, right? Consa should be back by then. Pau Torres should be back. So hard to say. I guess Doug Luiz would be nice. He's on pens. But still continues to defy his XG. 2 goals this week from 0.5 XG. But again, doesn't feel like you need to have these guys. Yeah, so Watkins is the only one I feel like I have to have from that game. Brentford, Burnley, Tony. That's about it, right? You wouldn't be surprised if Brentford concede, so you're not going to worry about not having a Brentford defender. Luton Forest, I mean, I don't think this is that easy a fixture. Forest have been much more improved since Nuno has come along, defensively at least. And Luton have started to look a bit shaky. So, yeah, you said Carlton Morris, and that's about it. If you've got Doughty, I got Doughty, so yeah, fine. But Yeah, but I wouldn't be worried about not owning Doughty. And then you come down to Spurs, Fulham, and you probably want Son, maybe Richarlison if he's fit. Spurs don't keep clean sheets, so I wouldn't be too concerned about not owning Porro, Udogi, or anybody.
Yeah, that's true. Although they could be back, like the whole first choice defense could be back by then. We don't know for sure yet.
Udogi, they weren't keeping clean sheets in the first choice.
That's true.
and it's a way. At Craven Cottage, yeah.
I guess my point is that, do you want to keep them long-term? If you really don't, like, you only want them for just this week, then free hit. And if you're okay with keeping them, like for me, personally, I'm okay with having, the Luton boys on the bench. I'm okay with moving forward. You know, you have Watkins, Douglas Luiz, and players like that, right? Bowen. So, team-dependent, really. I have to say.
Independent, yeah. If you've got 0 this week, like let's say right now your team has 0 29 players, then yeah, sure. I'd be more inclined to free hit. But if you've got like even 4, I think you can get to 7 or 8 with a hit and, you know, or hit or 2.
I mean, yeah. Planning from this week onwards, right? Yeah, you can get there, definitely.
Yeah. And as long as, like you say, you invest in guys who you're either comfortable to keep or comfortable to bench. A lot of people say, I want a free hit because these are such bad teams. I would never want to keep a Luton player. But like you said, you chuck them on the bench. You know, you have your Doughty, Barkley. If Adebayo's fit by then, those kind of guys. Yeah, Rodrigo Muniz, right? Fulham. He's the new thing.
4.5. We'll get there, I think. We'll get into the individual players later on. But yeah, strategy-wise, I think that's the play, right?
Yeah, so free hit. Sure, if you have to, but I think if you can save it. The reason I ask, I say this is simply because if you look at the fixture ticket that we have on the screen, this is from Planet FPL via Plan FPL Team. Yes. Sorry, a lot of planners now. It used to just be live FPL, but now everyone's got a planner. So this is FPL Team. And so they've done this projected fixtures from Planet FPL. And you can see there will be doubles in 34. Fairly bad teams again, doubling. Palace. And United, so yeah, fairly bad team.
Terrible team.
Yeah. Newcastle and Sheffield United. So that's a really bad like set of doublers. You may want free hit in that week. You also got 37. And I think 37 is really tempting. A lot of people are talking about wildcard. If you're, you know, smart enough and able to hold on to your wildcard till 37, you know, fair play to you. But for us normal mortals who don't have that kind of, you know, self-control, 37 free hit feels fun because end of the season, by then probably titles decided, probably Arsenal have already wrapped it up, probably Everton are relegated. And so 37, you have Arsenal, Bournemouth, Brighton, Liverpool, Chelsea, City, Everton, all these teams expected to double. And if you can nail a 37 free hit with like 11 doublers, imagine, you know. So yeah, I'm more tempted to save the free hit down the line for something, again, targeting upside.
all the species. I think this, going back to, we talked about this earlier on. There are two ways to play a free hit, right? A defensive free hit and an offensive free hit. You know, one is where you defend against a bad game week, like 29, you know, or I'm going to have a lot of players who are out, so I want to make sure I can feel a nice 11. That's a defensive free hit. And offensive is you use it to attack a double game week, such as this, you know. So I think this year, Siva, me and you, we both seem to want to go offensive with our free hit.
Yeah, it just feels like 37 is so perfect for a free hit because it's so late in the season that definitely lineups are going to be, you know, messed up in, you know, second last fixture of the season. You know, something will be decided by then. Relegation looks all but certain for some of these teams by then. Yeah. And especially this week with Everton's penalty being reduced, that pulls other teams further back down, right? So, yeah, I just feel like it's so much more tempting to keep a chip for that last 2 weeks. And you'll struggle. I feel like a lot of people have talked about bench boost in 37. I think unless you've kept your wild card, I think it's really hard to build up to a bench boost because now it looks easy, right? Oh, these are all good teams playing. But if you get there and if the title's already wrapped up, for example, Liverpool will definitely rotate. They might, you know, be prepping for Europa finals. I don't know. Arsenal may rotate, might be prepping for a Champions League final. You don't know, right? City as well. All these teams have other commitments. And so if they're prepping for a European final and then they have a double, and it's meaningless to them, almost suddenly you see rotation, right? And suddenly your Haaland pick may not be as good. You may want Alvarez. Or...
Yep. Completely agree, which is why I decided to use my bench boost earlier on the season. Did not really work out, but it remains to be seen whether using it later in the season will work out or not, or will yield similar results as mine. We don't know yet.
Next season, bench boost game week one. I'm sold on that. As a lot of people talk about it, I'm sold on that now. Just get rid of this nonsensical chip. But okay, enough about that. Let's sort of back off from the chip talk. Shall we talk? I think a lot of people have sort of forgotten about captaincy this week. Is it even a discussion, or do we, because something happened in midweek and that all changed? Because I guarantee you, at the start of the week, nobody was thinking about captaining Haaland, but halfway through, middle of the week, something happened.
I wouldn't say nobody, Siva. Because I think even with a poor last game week, Haaland is still Haaland, and he will always be in people's mind. You know what I mean? If you have Haaland, the temptation to captain him will always be there. Anyway, why are we jumping to captaincy? I thought that's supposed to be our last section in the pod, Siva.
I like to sort of lead with the big stuff because, I mean, the rest of the stuff is fairly, you know, minute transfer and it's very team dependent, right? Like, if you have Huang, this is what you do. If you have Darwin, this is what you do. If you're
do you
sick
have
of
Huang,
KDB,
Siva?
I do have Huang. So you want
so
to...
what are you going to do? Yeah. Tell me.
I'm really frustrated.
I don't, but a lot of people have. And I swear, Siva, if we did a pod last week, I had it in my notes. We didn't record in the end because we were really busy. But I swear, I was going to tell people that Sarabia is a really good option.
Look, see, what's really annoying is, I know Sarabia is a good option. See, we both played Euro Fantasy, so we knew Sarabia, like 2 years ago, was the guy. And I knew there was a possibility he could return. But Huang was the guy who had more minutes. Cunha's injury meant that Huang probably, not guaranteed, but probably would have demanded to take the pens, even though Sarabia has a better record.
Yeah, I thought Sarabia would stay on pens because he has taken pens with Huang on the pitch.
No, he has not. It's more that Huang hasn't taken with Sarabia on the pitch. That's
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So that's the difference. Although Sarabia has like a perfect record, 17 out of 17. Huang has. Anyway, Sarabia, knowing my luck, is going to take a pen this week while Huang is sitting in a hospital somewhere. Okay, to further compound the misery.
And the Cunha injury meant that Sarabia was nailed, which was his main issue earlier on. So if we did a pod last week, I'm really sorry, guys. If you can time travel back to last week, bring Sarabia in instead of Huang.
Okay, so solid advice. Very useful for everyone who's listening. I think they'll appreciate that. But yes, so coming back to Huang this week, right? So you've got options. And I think a lot of people have cash in the bank. So is it, assuming you have cash, is it very simple? You just get the other South Korean guy. I can't remember his name. Pep told me get that Korean guy. So yeah, do you get Sun? Because I wasn't
Huang
impressed
to
by
Sun is such a huge move, Siva. What are you talking about? Who has enough money to do Huang to Sun?
See, this is why this. Okay, well, I have cash. I assume a lot of people still have cash, but let me.
When you're giving options, you might as well give like around the same price range, not freaking hot to sun. Come on.
Okay, but you okay for those who have cash? Because I can't imagine I'm the only person in this kind of situation. Because a lot of people still don't have Salah, so that's where, and we don't have Trent, so a lot of people have spare cash. I'm sure a lot of people do. All first of all, is Spurs like? Do we jump into Spurs or are people buying into Spurs because they just have a fixture in 29? Because they did just lose to Wolves, right?
2-1. Yeah, but Wolves are really, really good. Underratedly fair. Good the past past month or 2 months, maybe. I've had Cunha for the longest time until he got injured, and he's been solid. I doubled up on Huang before Huang went away for AFC. So I've been really happy, quietly happy with my Wolves players. Yeah, I think Sun will be a good move in because Sun is always good. Plus, there is some unconfirmed rumors on Richarlison being injured. Unconfirmed, of course. But if it turns out to be true and Sun plays centrally, that's when you want Sun in your team.
But is Palace the easy fixture that it was 2 weeks ago? New coach?
Yeah, he's injured, right?
Yeah, he is injured.
Big part of the Palace defense. So, and Spurs can score. You know, they will score against anyone. They might concede more than they score, but they will score.
Yeah. So we've got expected goals for this week, and yeah, Spurs are one of the higher ones, just behind Liverpool, City, Arsenal. Yeah. And yeah, if Richarlison's out, then yeah, Sun through the middle does feel. Well, he really should return, but you're not tempted by a sideways move. You're the kind of guy I thought you'll talk me into, like Timo or something a bit more spicy. Madison, maybe.
Oh, I mean, I love Madison. I had him since he moved to Spurs in the start of the season, and he was so good until he got injured. But I think Madison will be the sister son, will be the scorer. You always want a goal scorer, right? I mean, if you're not talking about price tags, of course, just in isolation, which player do you want? If you can make it to Sun, go to Sun.
Okay.
If you can't make it to Sun, then Siva, what do you do?
Yeah, so let's humor you now. Let's for the people with broke and with no cash. Okay, Bowen, so Doug Lewis, man.
Doug Lewis?
No, Bowen. Okay, let's talk Bowen. Away Everton doesn't strike me as a fixture that I would particularly want to go in on.
But I mean, if you remember his form, I don't know how right it is to bring in form that was like way back in game week 19 and before. Yeah. It's like almost 10 game weeks ago. But at that point, you would play him against anyone, right? When he was on form. Whereas he was scoring against anyone, any team, even hard fixture, home, away, you know, it was kind of unpredictable, I guess, so you just played him every week.
Yeah, but
someone like Douglas Lewis, however, is more predictable because almost all his hauls have come playing at home.
I don't get Doug Lewis. I mean, there are weeks I see him and he does absolutely nothing. He's proper DM, and then somehow he just, like the haul this week, I really didn't see it coming, and I don't understand. What is Doug Lewis? Like, what am I not getting here? Is he for real? Is this like a Gundogan where we've just not bought into it, and by the time we get into it, he'll probably have left for a better team?
maybe. I'm not really sure myself. I think the main thing is that he takes pens, right? Which has contributed for me half his goals. And then he pops up with like open play goals and assists here and there, but mostly at home. But I don't think this is a Douglas Lewis only performs at home. It's more Villa tends to perform better at home as a whole.
Okay, fair. Yeah, I mean Villa Park, yeah.
So, but
Luton look really shaky, right? They just conceded, what, 6 goals to City? Would you not beat? Yeah. And that's basically their first team they played.
Yeah,
not tempted.
Not tempted to go Douglas Lewis. I mean, if I had Huang, which I don't, and I was looking for a replacement, I think my first choice around that price range would be Bowen. simply because he's the main goal scorer. He plays in 29. I don't plan to free hit. So there are a lot of factors, right?
Yeah, but Doug Lewis also is playing
in 29. I think Doug Lewis would be my second pick.
Okay.
Oh, and actually, I think I may be tempted for Leon Bailey over Douglas Lewis, who is much more involved, although minutes are a bit more of a risk.
This is eye test Sam talking, you know. This is where you've watched too many games. Because, see, somebody who's not watching the games has already bought Doug Lewis and got all their points.
That's true. Like, just stop watching games.
Yeah, my brother-in-law spends 5 minutes. He doesn't do anything with his team. Then, just before he asked me, should I get this guy in? He doesn't listen to me. He gets Doug Lewis in. He doesn't watch a match. And he got some goals. You know,
two goals. Yeah. Leon Bailey, very good. But I have... I always get a bit worried with this kind of players, where they are so kind of streaky. So yes, he is getting minutes now. He's playing really, really well now. But all it takes are like two bad games before he's benched again and, you know, starts getting 20-minute appearances and things like that.
He's also made of cheese. So
yeah. So I'm a bit... I don't know. I feel like these kind of players are short-term punch. Like, you just want to catch their wave, their form before it inevitably tapers off and he loses his place again and you got to transfer him out.
It's this week strikes me as really tough because when you look at these fixtures on the screen, right? There are a lot of potentials for big hauls, like Villa to go to Luton, Spurs host Palace, Bournemouth travel to Burnley, Arsenal travel to Sheffield United. And it feels really tricky to make, like, everybody says, okay, Son's the safe, easy pick, right? But if you don't have funds, like you say, and then you don't really want to go for Madison because you don't think he'd be the explosive pick, are we overlooking some obvious ones? Cole Palmer is still really good going to Brentford. A lot of people sold him a few weeks ago when he had the blank. Why not Cole Palmer? Or why not, you know, may I tempt you? Kai Havertz, back-to-back hauls.
Well, moving for Kai Havertz.
Because
yeah, go on.
Okay, start of the season, I went way too early on Kai Havertz. It was a mistake. Went and saw him live. Yeah, and I was... and after that, so disgusted by my team, I wildcarded because I couldn't bear to watch the performance anymore. But I feel like maybe I was just too far ahead of the curve, right? That always happens in FPL, you know? And now, like Arteta, I'm starting to see like where he was going with this. Because two double-digit hauls back-to-back seems to have... I wouldn't say nailed the place in the team, but seems to have made that spot, you know, his first choice. Sheffield United, right? Arsenal. And to be fair, Arsenal have figured out how to start scoring goals. Like, the issue is that...
Yeah,
the guys
ever since goals... I saw my Arsenal players, they decide like, hey, let's just score 100 goals in 1 month. Now that Sam has sold Saka from his FPL team.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is... Arsenal have finally figured out that they're finally ticking. Okay, granted, a lot of it is set pieces, you know, but I mean, 6-0, 5-0, 4-1, they're starting to cook. So, not tempted by a second Arsenal attacker for people who already have Saka, which is most people except
for
you.
People who are going to free hit in 29, because Arsenal, yeah, now we are coming on to players who world blank in 29, basically, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah. So, you commit to a free hit and you go in.
I don't know, man. Kai Havertz is a bit... I would rather go for someone else. How about like a Pascal Gross?
I mean, why would you go for an inferior German midfielder, mate? I mean,
inferior, I don't know about inferior, man. Pascal Gross, underrated for many years, and he is cooking as well. He's returned like 4 weeks in a row. And yeah, the thing about Gross, right, it's like he can play badly the entire game or play well but not have like much end product. And then it's just one cross in the 90th minute scores and somehow he will just end up with bonus points. Like in these past four games in which he's returned, right, he's at 3-2-3-3 bonus points. That's more points than some players score an entire season, man.
Yeah, he's ticked over very nicely. There's nothing spectacular but very consistent.
Yeah, so like I think... If you're looking for a player long-term to leave in your team, you're going to free hit. So you just want a guy there for great value. I would say Gross is maybe near the top. The top will be still Cole Palmer to me. I think like for his price and what he can offer, Cole Palmer is still like right up there. And then Gross.
Okay. Cole Palmer or Sun?
Whoa, you can buy two Cole Palmers with Sun, man. That's not a fair comparison.
No, you can't think price points, right? Because Cole Palmer's been one of the best assets this season.
Slots in your team. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Do you have any other Spurs players?
No. But, most people don't. I'd be surprised. The people I have at best Richarlison, who may be injured.
I would say Sun, because Sun is just more, when he's on form, like he was early in the season, it's crazy, right? He could be like maybe the best asset in the game when he's really on form. Okay. But Cole Palmer is best as well. Really, really good.
I noticed you didn't mention anybody from Bournemouth. And bearing in mind, Bournemouth have a double next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
The logical play, you stack up on doublers now. But yeah, Solanke may or may not be fit. We're recording Thursday night, Friday morning, depending where you are. And Solanke is a doubt.
I think you said it's better than feared, right? So it's not as bad as they thought initially.
There's a tweet saying he could be ready, but Kud is doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
I don't think he's going to start this week. So he's on my bench. However, I have Richarlison starting Solanke might end up coming in anyway.
Something is going wrong there.
I know.
Whoever you're benching is hauling, and the other guy is going to come up for 2 minutes.
Come on. Come on for 2 minutes, get a yellow card, end up with 0 points.
Now that's the KDB special, mate. Okay, so let's segue, all right? Because I think we've discussed the midfielders we wanted to talk about. I suppose before we finish off, Gordon is still scoring, which people have sold. I have sold. And he continues to score. Scored in midweek in the cup. Newcastle home, St. James Park.
Yeah, I still have Gordon this week. I still have Gordon. I'm playing him this week. He's at home.
Yeah, so would you not rate Gordon ahead of all these other guys we're talking about? Who all seem kind of flaky picks. We're just mentioning them because, we're trying to be creative. But isn't Gordon, behind Palmer, wouldn't Gordon be the next best pick?
Yeah, I think so. Although, are we including Douglas Lewis and Leon Bailey and all these other guys?
Yeah.
I would rate, let's go like sub, below 7, I guess, right? Okay, below 7 mil. Palmer, Gordon, Gross, top 3. Although I would say Gross is like really getting close to being second now. And then Douglas Lewis 4, although I think some people may take issue with that because Douglas Lewis has scored more points than any of these other guys, right? I think. Let me sort by, he's near the top, right? In terms of total points scored. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I make my transfers, mate. I sort by points and then I limit him.
He is marginally more than Palmer. So, yeah. I don't know. It's just, is it the DM thing? Like, I don't want to bring a... I refuse to believe that a DM can be a good FPL pick.
I mean, every year, my brother-in-law tells me, I start the season with Kante, and he said, you're wasting your time. And then this year, he said, I'm starting with Rodri. I said, you're wasting your time. And he's just flying, okay? So
Rodri's scoring everywhere. So, yeah. Could be just DM biasness. We need a campaign for that,
So, to round up, if you've got all positions unlimited cash... Better. Yeah, so Huang replacements, unlimited cash, you got Sun. If you've got slightly less cash, you go Bowen. And if you've got even less, you go Palmer. And that's it. That's basically your top 3 in those price brackets, right?
Yeah, I guess. Assuming free hit, assuming you you don't need to plan for 29 and stuff, just purely in isolation, yeah? Sun, Bowen.
And if you are not
Palmer slash Gross slash Douglas Lewis.
Okay, so if you're not free hitting, it's Doug Lewis. Fair enough. Okay. Let's discuss Bournemouth a bit, right? Because I think whether you free hit or not kind of depends a lot on... Well, it depends to some extent on Bournemouth. Because you Bournemouth players who you get in for this upcoming double, which is the best double we've seen in a while, Sheffield United and Luton on paper, but they don't play in 29. So it's a bit tricky because Bournemouth don't, despite being a decent team, don't have many good FPL options. Like, guys get rotated a lot, they get subbed off a lot.
Yeah. I genuinely think Bournemouth has only like two possible options, which is
Solanke and Neto, right?
Neto. Possibly, I guess you could say Senesi. Yeah, that's it. That's the name I was looking for. He's
two bookings away from a suspension, by the way.
Yeah, but you know, is he gonna get a cut? He'll be suspended the game after, so that's after the double game week. You'll be fine.
Assuming you draft him next week, yes.
Yeah. Senesi, simply because he seems to get some attacking returns, even though he's a centre back. Is he a centre back? He's a centre back, right?
He's a centre back. Yes, mate. Yeah. Yes, clearly.
3 goals to us. Sorry, I don't watch Bournemouth games. Anyone, any non-Bournemouth fan watch Bournemouth games?
Hey, I do. I do from time to time. I did watch the Newcastle game. Drew 2-2. Saw the City game. Also very impressed.
Was that more for Was that more for Newcastle than it was for Bournemouth?
Of course, I mean.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm not...
No offense to
Bournemouth
fans out there.
All 10 of them are upset.
They have some... I don't know. The midfielders look like... They may be explosive on their day. The thing is, you can't predict who is it we're going to start. And I've been through Bournemouth fan forums and on Reddit and posts and stuff. And they themselves don't know. Like, at any point, they themselves are not really sure who will start. So... It's just a minefield there. I wouldn't recommend going for a Bournemouth mid right now.
Yeah. Marcus Tavernier is the popular pick, but I think all those who keep hyping Marcus Tavernier don't watch Bournemouth because his minutes are very uncertain. Like, he's been in and out, comes off early, not the sort of nail guy he was at the start of the season. They got way too many options. They got Sinisterra, they've got Antoine Semenyo, who is a forward but plays a right wing. Yeah, it's
Justin Cleaver.
Feels, yeah. But if, okay, so you get news this week and you know that Solanke is out, bearing in mind that Bournemouth play on Saturday, right? So if you get news and, oh no, they play on Sunday. Okay, so if, but if you get news from Iriola in the press conference that Solanke is not playing this week, are you not tempted by Antoine Semenyo? 4.5 million up top, maybe on pens. And he looks really good. Like, he gave Nathan Ake a really bad game against City, scored against Newcastle. He's cheap. And if you're not wildcarding anytime soon, or if you've already burnt the wildcard, he is a way to get money out as you try and prepare to get Salah back in, for example.
I mean, he's 4.5, right? Which is really, really cheap. I mean, it's as cheap as you can get as a forward. I would try to get another... 0.6. I know 0.6 sounds a lot, but try to go Carlton Morris instead.
Why? Well, I mean, Carlton Morris only has pens above this guy. He has the worst double compared to Semenyo. He has Palace and Bournemouth, whereas Semenyo has Burnley, Sheffield United, and Luton. Even if he just plays two of those three, you'd be very happy with that. 4.5 million.
Yeah, but the returns are just not there. Whereas Carlton Morris has shown that he has returns in him. 7 goals, 6 assists. Those are decent. And his recent form has been really good. Okay, he blanked against Liverpool, but the 5 games before that, he has returned in a row. You know, some of it pens, yes. Some of it open play. So that's what you want. I think in a double game week like that, you know, Carlton Morris, if you can go up from you know, get that extra 0.6, and then, depending on how you want to structure your team and you want to bench them moving on, I'm okay with benching Carlton Morris at 5.1 moving forward. Of course, the 0.6 may come in real handy, right? Especially if you want to have Son, you want to have Salah, you want to have Haaland in your team, you still want Saka. You're going to need every, you know, every as much money as you can get. So I do
think
see
that's pretty realistic. Like, you'll want that by, say, 31, right? Or 32. And if you don't have a chip or you're saving the chip for later, yeah, every last point will count. And it just feels like such a good double on paper. I get where you're coming from. Carlton Morris has been ticking over recent weeks and Adebayo being out helps. But it's just those three fixtures to me, Burnley, Sheffield United and Luton in a row. Like, and it's to me, it sucks that you can't, like, okay, Solanke is fit this week. Sure, you go straight in. But if he's not, then you want some sort of, I want something from that run. It just feels like it's too good.
Just wanna, what's the word? What's the term? Can't win the lottery if you don't buy a ticket.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Anton Semenyo could be the highest.
He's cheap enough that, you know, even if he feels, oh, yeah, okay, I spend 4.5, like whatever. You
know? No long-term damage to your team. He's cheap enough. And if he, you would not be surprised if he is the highest point scorer in Game Week 28. Like, that's a realistic consideration, I think.
Fair enough, I think. Fair enough. But that's relying... I mean, actually, he plays even if Solanke plays, right? They do play together, yeah. Right?
They do play together. The only issue is he may come off a little earlier if Solanke is playing, because he'll then play on the wing and Irola likes to sub off the wingers. So he may score a hat-trick and then get subbed off. But, you know, you don't mind that. So
a lot depends on... Do we get another press conference before the match?
Today. Yeah. Okay. So by the time you listen to this podcast, you'll probably hear from Irola, who will probably say, you know, we will see. And that, I mean, either way, I expect Semenyo to start because he was a sub against in the cup. Against Leicester. He came out at 45 minutes because Enes Unal, who's the other guy they've signed, was injured. But since no one wants to talk about Enes Unal because only people who play FIFA know who he is. So and even then he's
football manager.
Fairly bad.
Football manager.
Yeah, and football manager. And he's not great in either of those games, so therefore we won't waste time. But it will be absolute scenes when Enes Unal comes from nowhere and suddenly hauls in Game Week 28. Shall we talk captaincy now?
Yeah, let's do it. There's only two realistic options, I think, right?
Havertz and Saka, right?
And Semenyo, yeah.
That's me.
City player and Saka, basically. City smashed United like every single time we've played in the past 3 years, I think.
Before we get to, sorry, captaincy, one last thing about KDB owners, because I still have KDB, and I think a lot of people still do. A lot of people probably rage sold at the start of the week. But surely, if you still have KDB now, you hold him, right? Because you've just seen what he could do, 4 assists. That's why we bought in. Unlucky that it didn't happen, but just because you missed one haul doesn't mean you want to miss the next one, right? And United, yeah. I'm sure he starts. I'm sure he hauls.
I'm very sure he will start against United. Like, very, very sure. Especially now that City are chasing, right? If they were first and have a comfortable, what I could see, you know, him being benched or maybe taken off early and things like that. But I think he'll definitely start. There is Champions League, right, though, next week.
Yeah, but they won the first leg already. So I
mean, yeah,
I can't see 3-1, but still, they're comfortable.
Yeah.
And anyway, they play Liverpool the following week. So, you see, next week. So, my guess is KDB plays this week. Probably a better sub for Copenhagen and then starts against Liverpool.
Let me bring up, I'm going to bring up, like, what's the scores of the past few matches between City and United?
I'm sure it'll read very well for United.
As a United fan, I should not be Googling this because it will not turn out well.
I mean, but back when Ole was around, you used to have all these upsets against City, right?
Well, yeah, because I think the way we set up at that time like suits us against City's style.
But that's also pre-Haaland, right?
That is also pre-Haaland.
Because the famous one that we all remember is last year, Game Week 9, where Haaland was playing United at home and Salah was playing, I think, Brighton. And people kept saying, we should cap Salah. And Salah got 5 points and Haaland got a hat-trick against United.
Yeah, I remember not captaining Haaland and watching that match live, like with a few friends. It was not good. I left at halftime, I think, because me and my friends were all MU fans. Like, we left the place at halftime and we were like, we can't continue. We can't do this anymore.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I can't admit it. As a United fan, you get used to that.
But yeah, so Haaland at home against United. Or even KDB, if he plays, even Foden, right? I think maybe viable if you don't have Haaland, right? Any City player at home against United, especially the way United is now, especially with the injuries, and Maguire's injured again, Shaw's injured, Malasseur's injured. We don't have a left back I think Wan-Bissaka is still injured. Varane is back, so he'll probably partner Lindelof, maybe. But we may need Lindelof at left back, so he may partner Johnny Evans. Or maybe Amrabat will play left back. I have no idea. Like, basically, United.
Johnny Evans, mate. Oh,
oh, that's when I will. If Johnny Evans starts, I'm not going to captain a City player because he's going to lock Haaland down. That's for sure. Anyway, point is, City tend to do well, especially at home against United. Definitely viable choice, but Saka against Sheffield, one of the worst teams in the league, and with the rate Arsenal is scoring right now, like every game five, you could definitely see another 5-0 game here, you know.
But I mean, let's be real. Are you going to captain Salah? I mean, Saka over Haaland?
I think I would captain a City player against United. But this is it's what I like to call happiness hedging. As a United fan, at least if we get smashed, I can be like, well, at least my fantasy team is doing well. And if Haaland blanks, at least I can be like, at least United, you know, managed to lock down Haaland and played a good game.
That's good. I mean, majority of people are United fans for reasons I don't understand. So yeah, that's a very useful advice. And I still think, you know, ultimately, if the midweek game didn't happen, we'd all captain Saka. But since that happened, we're all humans. We're not infallible. So if he's going to score 5 goals against Luton, he could score 6 against United. I'm not going to mess with that.
For sure, for sure. Although, I have to say, if it was any other mid-table team, right? If City was playing any other mid-table team, I think we will all go for Saka, right?
I think once the 5-goal thing happens, you don't mess with that. Like, you know, the guy, he's got the hot hand. He's playing for the best team, arguably, in the country. They're at home. I mean, it's all set up perfectly for a blank and a 2-pointer, sure.
Yeah.
And a yellow card.
All those, like the stats were even out, you know. He had XG of 5 and he scored it all in one match, so now he's not going to score for another 5 matches.
But to be fair, right, his XG over the double is really good and he didn't haul, right? He had, what 2 XG against Chelsea and he didn't return. So it's not like as if this 5 goals has come out of nowhere. So therefore, I think, yeah, be foolish to sort of bet against that.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I felt that I came out lucky because I did not triple captain him, right? Like, I felt I was lucky because he was getting into great positions and he was missing chances quite uncharacteristically, I would say, you know? Like, you would expect him to put in some of those chances.
Yeah, I remember that header, which would have been a KDB assist against Chelsea, and point blank, you expect Haaland to score. And if that happens against United, right? Because, to be fair, he had just come back, right, before the Chelsea game. So, a bit of rustiness and all that. He's back to full form now. With KDB there to supply the assist, like, yeah, you just captain, you sit back, you watch the points come in.
So, is that it?
Yeah, we spent about half an hour just getting to Haaland captain, so productive. we'll be back to do this again next week, Game Week 28 double. But in the meantime,
get your green arrows, guys. And we'll see you next week. Next week will be the exciting one with the double.
Yeah, the Semenyo v Solanke showdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. V Carlton Morris,
V Alfie Doughty.
All right, guys. Okay, see you. Bye. Oh, this is big.